Hey, everybody, this is Paul Wobblington with the Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast, talking to you about our friend Gabe Winslow and the Gabe Winslow Mortgage Team. If you're in the market for a brand new home or you're interested in taking some money out of your home with a refinance, Gabe is the person to call. Mention this podcast and Gabe is going to give you $500 off of your closing. In addition to that, he's going to beat any competitive bid that you bring him from an accredited mortgage lender. So give Gabe a call, 832-557-1095. Once again, that's 832-557-1095. Tell him that we sent you and put some money in your pocket. Thanks, everybody.
Kevin, there's a grand tradition of tight ends at Stanford, at Iowa, at Oklahoma, at Notre Dame.
Let's say, I mean, prisoner of the moment, there were some of those, but...
Miami.
Yeah.
USC.
Uh-huh.
Not at Texas.
So we are doing our best of or all-time greats for the position groups at the University of Texas for football. We started it off with quarterbacks and pissed some people off with our lack of James Street. We kind of had our own metrics, and we're just doing it for shits and giggles, but now we're going to take it seriously. And I think winning will be a little bit, at least for me, a bigger part, like it usually is. Like most Texas fans, I've done a million of these lists. So
sure.
They change up a little bit.
They do, but you know, the more research I do, the more I have an appreciation for some of the folks who laid the groundwork.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to have a sense of realism, and you want to look at accomplishments of people within their context, within their era, but you're also looking at the quality of the player.
Yep.
Right? And at the same time, you have to appreciate that there's some really good college players who aren't great NFL players. And conversely, there's some guys who weren't great college players who kind of blossomed late in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to balance all that. Don't have too much undue influence. I got to say, particularly the NFL career, you got to be careful not to let that unduly influence you. With tight ends, Kevin, I think we might have – we're not looking at each other's lists. We're not discussing the list before these podcasts, so
no.
We can react organically. I suspect we might have the same number one, but I think we're going to have a lot of differences in the top five.
Yeah, and I think it's probably okay with this one.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay anyway. But
I got to say, because you've got to really look at context. You've got to look at era. There's a lot that goes into this, but there's some really talented tight ends at Texas who really never got to see that talent.
No. And JerMichael especially. We'll get to that. But
yeah.
If
he's on the top five.
If he's on the top five, but I think you'd be arguing for one if he stays around a little bit longer or is utilized a different way.
Yeah, exactly right. So we did mention these tight end feeder, these great tight end juggernaut factories. Notre Dame is one of them.
Yeah, Notre Dame would be like the Texas DBU.
Yes.
Probably the longest and most storied history. Miami, Stanford, and some of these other schools would be
up-and-comers.
Up-and-comers, and probably like an LSU or Ohio State or Florida State
in
DBU, they would be putting out more the last 20 years.
Yeah, in the last decade, last 20 years, they've exceeded Notre Dame.
They have.
Especially Miami.
Although Notre Dame, even with the Kyle Rudolphs, I mean, they're still putting them out there.
Still players.
Yeah.
No question.
Iowa. The last couple of years.
They punch above their weight class.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
And
yeah.
Stanford, it makes sense, especially when you had the jumbo packages with Jim Harbaugh and then David Shaw coming in as OC.
It's the profile of the school. It's having a history. You know, one of the things that Texas fans often bemoan is, why aren't we getting and signing these elite tight ends?
Yeah.
Right? Well, you got to have a history of tight end production, because really good tight ends know they can dramatically increase their draft profile by getting featured, by getting volume, by getting attention in the passing game, by playing in a certain type of running game, which projects well to the NFL. They're blocking, right? That's where Iowa obviously excels. Miami has excelled, right? I mean, they've turned out a lot of high-profile tight ends to varying results in the NFL, but, boy, they sort of have it on lockdown.
Well, even Winslow, I mean, he clearly has his own problems and issues, but he came out like gangbusters early on.
He's a soldier!
Yeah, oh, God. That was a sign things are
every
a little
Navy
different.
SEAL, Army Ranger, and Marine that ever lived rolled their eyes hard at that one.
I know. Oh man.
All right.
Okay, so you start five.
I'm gonna start. My number five is the aforementioned JerMichael Finley.
Okay.
JerMichael, I will state my case for JerMichael. He He really only played 2 years here. He left. He had two more years of eligibility. People don't remember that, right? He had two more years of eligibility at Texas. He went pro. Obviously had a nice little career at Green Bay before injuries shelved him. Thing was, JerMichael, and we're going to say this for so many of these guys, so you guys hang in there.
Yeah.
He was underutilized.
Yes.
And he was utilized. But he was the number two or number three pass catcher on that 2007 team. He probably should have been number one.
Yeah.
And his highlight year, he had 45 catches in 2007, 31 in his freshman year.
Redshirt freshman year. Let's remember that,
too. Redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
Yep. And total career, 76 catches, 947 yards, and 5 touchdowns.
17 starts.
17 starts. So it's really, he's almost like a what might have been. So while I appreciate the talent level, and I think on pure talent, he could be higher, I just got to look at also the production. And we saw him for 2 years. We saw 17 starts.
Pure talent for me is number one.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pure talent. And we'll get to number one.
I might have a guy that can exceed him as a pure talent.
Okay. And I think I know who you're talking about.
We'll see.
I think he's got some stock in Chinatown. But JerMichael would have been one for me. I didn't think we were going to agree a lot here. JerMichael's number five for me, too.
Oh, and no way.
Yeah. And well, yeah, because I knew we were both going to have him on there. I thought we were, but I thought you'd probably have him three or four, and I'm not picking this because of what you're going to have.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had him higher, and as I got to the end of the list, I kept on moving him down, and
yes.
It's strictly production, because when he's running the seam route, and we saw that with Green Bay, and look, you can get into what they did in the NFL. We're really talking about what they did at Texas. Now, with quarterbacks, I put more emphasis on straight-up talent and how would they adjust to certain eras. I'm not doing that as much here.
Yeah.
But Finley is a guy who we have him five, and he should be higher.
Yeah, he was underutilized.
He was.
And it's a shame. And one of the frustrating things about Greg Davis in 2007 is he did not adjust well to his talent. And he wanted to run what he wanted to run. And the two best players on that team, obviously a young Colt McCoy would become a really transcendent player the next year, Jamal Charles and JerMichael Finley. And he just did not, he stumbled into Jamal late, frankly. And then JerMichael.
That Nebraska game was a microcosm of his career.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, of course.
The one where he goes for 250 from the third.
290.
From, 250 from the third quarter on
that's
or
right,
whatever.
That's right. Well, JerMichael had his similar breakout against OU.
OU.
4 catches, 149 yards.
2 touchdowns?
I think a touchdown.
A touchdown.
And I caught like a 70-yard pass and like a 50-yard pass. And was open the entire day in the middle of the field. We only threw it to him 4 times. If they had made him featured in that game plan, Texas wins that game and JerMichael Finley has 8 catches for 200 yards.
So even with the 76 career grabs, 947 yards, and only the 2 years, I would have had him at 3 or 4 if not him being a glorified receiver.
Yeah.
And I do take tight end seriously.
Yes.
And the versatility that goes with that. And I think the guys that I have ahead of him were better blockers.
Yeah, I think that's correct. So tell me your number four.
Number four, this was tough because this is where you could actually go a lot of different directions. And I had this guy at 5 and I had Finley ahead of him. But I'm going to go with Bo Scaife.
Whoa.
I'm kind of throwing you for a little bit of a loop.
Okay.
And so a couple of the other guys that I had up there, you could throw in Randy Peschel.
Okay.
If you want to count him as a tight end.
Yeah.
You could throw in Kerry Cash,
mm-hmm.
who did a lot of things here. And Cash, I really thought about, kind of went back and forth. Even with the 2 knee injuries, this guy was really, you know, for when he was on the field, was really damn productive for Texas.
Yeah.
And he was a guy who obviously showed that later on. Mac, at one point, encouraged him to retire. I mean, that's how bad the knee injuries had become.
Yeah.
But it gets back to, he didn't look like the same guy with the burst, especially that first year after the second knee injury. But that's that position where you get open and you have a feel.
Yeah.
And he had a feel. He had really soft hands. He got bigger and became a better blocker. I'm going to go with Scaife.
Okay. His biggest year, single year, he had 30 catches for 396 yards and a touchdown.
The numbers are not going to be there. I looked at him and
I
thought,
tough, right?
That's where you're going to get hit. But yeah, I'm going to go with Scaife.
I tell you what, if he'd never had those knee injuries, he might be the greatest tight end in UT history.
Could be.
Might have been. But I didn't have him on my list.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I thought that was going to be, which is why I had him at five the whole time.
Yeah.
I should probably flip those and probably have Finley there, but both guys didn't have the production they should have.
Well, I have an honorable mention list, and we'll mention it, but he's on the honorable mention list.
Okay.
High, you know, if we've done a top 10, he's clearly in the top 10.
He's in it.
And Peschel, I do consider a tight end.
Okay.
So we can hit the honorable mentions at the end, maybe.
You have him on honorable mention?
Peschel? Yes.
Okay, I do too.
Yeah. So my number four, Pat Fitzgerald.
Okay.
To me, I've never seen better hands at the University of Texas. I've never seen a guy catch the ball like Pat Fitzgerald. And he was extremely mobile. Talk about like a sense for getting open.
Right.
Pat Fitzgerald was money.
And was in a perfect system, too.
Great system. Maciek used him, utilized him. One of the things Maciek did correctly.
Finley and Scaife would have been in that system, or some of the other guys.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. But Maciek really did use the tight end. That was a traditional sort of NFL offense, right? Two-time, first-team all-SWC tight end. He was an All-American in 96.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that. And I'm telling you, Kevin, I don't know how well you remember him, but I was in college when he was here.
Oh, I remember.
His hands were amazing.
They were amazing. I mean, hell, that won the Big 12 championship against Nebraska, upset, whenever Texas is pinned in their end zone, and I'm thinking, here it comes. Charlie McBride's coming after him. Wistrom, Tomich. One of those guys is going to get to Brown, and Brown almost takes a sack for a safety and just flings it up to the right sideline, and everything about that screamed, this is going to be a turnover.
This is a pick six.
This is a pick six.
Yeah.
And he laid it up there, and Fitzgerald made a beautiful catch and was able to get his foot down. Pat Fitzgerald's on my list.
Yeah, he did that all the time.
Yeah.
And in fact, I debated whether he should be higher.
Well, he is higher for me.
Okay. All time, 80 catches, 1,109 yards, 12 touchdowns. In that Nebraska Big 12 title game, there's so many Texas guys who get run, rightfully, right? James Brown was a hero in that game. Roll left, Derek Lewis. You had the Texas defense play a great game. Obviously, Priest Holmes. All that. People forget Pat Fitzgerald was awesome in that game.
Yeah.
Six catches for 73 yards, that huge clutch catch. I think he converted four third downs.
Yeah.
Texas scored on seven of their 10 possessions.
He was a California kid, too, who went to JUCO.
Yes.
But I think he's a lawyer now.
He's a lawyer.
Had good grades.
Good grades.
So it's not like he couldn't get in, but didn't get any rides, and then got that ride right away by Maciek. That was a smart move by him. Came down here, was in a really good system.
Yeah.
Had that 70-yarder against Baylor
in
the big 95 win when Richard Walton came in, and you're just thinking, all right, let's run the football and hope we can make some plays, and Pat did.
Yeah, and Pat ended up getting drafted by the Bills.
Athletically, that was going to be an issue at that level?
It was going to be an issue unless you use him in a very specific system.
Right.
Which the Buffalo Bills did not have at that time. And ultimately, he's a guy, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And I think he knew his future was not in football. He got an injury. He got into UT Law School, and he's like, hey, I did my thing. I'm going to go be a lawyer. One of my favorite Longhorn football players. Amazing hands, a great maximizer, and much more athletic than people remember or think, I think, well, at first blush when you watch him play.
Yeah.
He moved well. I don't know what his 40 time was, but he moved well.
Yeah, I don't think the 40 probably was going to be his strength, right? And that's one of those things where, especially with this position, the numbers don't always add up to just how impactful you are.
Yes.
And really how good you are.
All right. Who is your number three?
All right. Who's my number three? Let's get to this right here. Back and forth on this.
Okay.
Pat Fitzgerald.
All right.
And so Pat actually was at two for me, was kind of back and forth with it a little bit, but kind of everything you just said, we don't need to add on to it anymore. But I thought you were going to have him higher. I think some people would have him
two.
Two.
Yeah.
Right. And I had him too for a little while, and I don't think there's any right answers. In fact, I'll probably walk out of here and think, you know what? Let me put Scaife back to five, which kind of shows you the interchangeable parts for most of this list.
Yeah, I may regret putting Fitzgerald at four. So your three.
I kind of regret my four because I love Bo, but
yeah.
They're
yeah, I mean, Bo didn't make my cut.
I can see why. I can see why he wouldn't.
So we extol the virtues of Pat. Should I tell you my number three?
Yeah, who's your three?
Longhorn great Pete Lammons.
Okay, yeah.
So Pete Lammons,
really good defender too,
two-way player,
yeah,
dominant defender, dominant tight end. He was the leading pass catcher.
Lammons is six on this list for all you old heads for me.
Okay,
and it could have gone either way.
Okay.
You could put him if you're going straight winning, put him at four, and we're all good.
All right, he led UT in receptions from the tight end position, which was unheard of back in this in '64 and '65. His All Southwest Conference two times, 7-year NFL career for the Jets. He was a good player.
I got some, played tight end for the Jets.
He did. I got some trivia for you. The New York Jets, the iconic 1969 Jets, upset the Baltimore Colts in the greatest upset in NFL championship history up to that point, right? 18-point underdogs.
Yeah.
Joe Namath's famous I guarantee it game.
Oh, yeah.
Four Longhorns played in that game. Can you name four of them? You know one of them.
Jim Hudson, Bill Bradley,
So, Lammons?
Lammons,
you've got
obviously.
Jim Hudson, very good. He had an interception in that Super Bowl. That was key. A guy named John Elliott, defensive lineman, a very good defensive tackle.
Did not know that.
And George Sauer.
Wow.
Namath's number one receiver. He caught about 15 balls at Texas, and he was Joe Namath's number one guy. And in the Super Bowl, he had like 140 yards receiving.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lammons is, if you're going old school, there's... I mean, two-time All-Southwest Conference player. You've got the 65 Orange Bowl.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he won a national championship, too.
Yeah, he won.
So he was
a part of some very good Texas teams. And if you look at the best players on those early 60 teams, Scott Appleton.
Yeah.
You know, Duke Carlisle. Pete Lammons is in the top five of those dudes. He's a dominant player if you talk to those guys from that era. So I wanted to give a little hat tip to the old folks and the older players who sort of – blaze the trail. So Pete Lammons is my number three.
All right. I think he could easily be in the top five. I probably should have put him in the top five, and I'm sure old people are going to get all pissed off about it. Hell, they're going to be pissed off that you have him at three.
That's probably true.
Okay, where are we at here? Who's up next? Number two.
Your two or my two?
Your two. Go for it.
Lawrence Sampleton.
Mine too.
There's never been
I think we got one and two the same.
There's never been a more talented pure tight end in the history of Texas football
than
Lawrence Sampleton. I was a little kid when he played. I remember him. I've gone back and watched some of the old YouTubes, and Lawrence Sampleton was a phenom, handcuffed in the most horrific
archaic
Fred Akers
offense.
Passing offense you've ever seen.
Still had 68 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Averaged almost 20 yards a catch.
Soft hands.
Incredible
big
hands.
Guy.
6'5", 240, could run, could block.
Yeah, if he would have been in a different system, then he'd probably be one on this list. I mean, to me, JerMichael Finley and Lawrence are the two most...
What might have been.
Yeah, and also the two most impressive tight ends we've
had. Yes, that makes sense. Yeah, Lawrence Sampleton was a physical marvel. If you watched him play, particularly in that era... A phenomenal guy. Soft hands, could run, could block, could do it all. 6'5", 240, and he was always open.
Yeah.
But Texas never got him the ball. He averaged 20 yards a catch as a tight end.
He was quite the player. Okay, so we both got him there. That was the guy I was talking about. He's got some ownership in Chinatown.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was wondering. I was like, oh, maybe you're not. Maybe Lawrence Sampleton didn't make your list.
I think I was talking about Lammons.
I didn't know.
Number one, I think we all know this is obvious. Brock Edwards.
That's it.
Brock Edwards was a talented guy.
He was
actually
a talented
because
guy.
Of Scaife, when Scaife got back, they didn't go to enough two tights to actually utilize him, and Scaife was doing enough for them.
That's right. Yeah, Brock was a good player.
Number one, David Thomas.
David Thomas, no question about it.
Yeah. So one and two actually were pretty easy for me, and with Fitzgerald kind of close to that.
Yeah.
But honestly, 4 through 8 or 9, you could pick a couple.
You could make a lot of different
choices. Kerry Cash could make this list.
No question. What shocked me, Kevin, from my memories as a high school kid worshiping the Cash twins, Kerry Cash didn't get thrown the ball.
No. They would throw the alley-oop to him, but they'd split him out to do that. No, they didn't throw him the ball. Keith would have had more action as a receiver, and then Keith became a tight end in the NFL.
Kerry's biggest yards receiving in a year was 391.
Yeah, I know, which is kind of what... there were other reasons, but when I saw that, I thought, I can't put him on the list, especially when we grew up.
No.
We grew up in that era.
Yeah.
So that just comes off as... what we were talking about earlier.
I honestly expected to see he had 700 yards 1 year.
Yeah.
And I looked at the stats and just kept staring at him like, oh, my God. I just remembered this differently, right?
All right, I like the list.
Let's extol the virtues of Mr. Thomas. I'll do it. How about that?
No, I mean, he had a great, once again, feel for the position.
Yep.
Feel for the game. Was an underrated blocker.
Yep.
Understood angles, understood leverage. Was an incredibly cerebral player. Was also pretty damn good, a better athlete than he probably got credit
much
for.
Much faster than people,
people remember.
Him.
He was everything you're looking for in a college tight end, yeah. And was Vince's. Really, his safety net.
I thought of him as like an upgraded Pat Fitzgerald.
Yes. It's a good way to put it.
Famous Rose Bowl, national championship game. He catches 10 balls for 88 yards, moves the chains 6 or 7 times on key drives. Just Mr. Reliable.
And some of the routes, if you go back, just the little things he does to get open.
Yeah.
Now, USC did not have, they had a bunch of kids playing linebacker.
Yep.
And they did not have a great secondary.
He was abusing a young Brian Cushing.
Oh, he was killing him.
Right.
Cushing was probably roid raging
and
at halftime.
Keith Rivers.
Keith Rivers would have been a sophomore. Yeah. Cushing and then Mauluga.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe an Oscar Lua who was older. But,
all future talented. NFL guys.
Yeah.
Didn't look like that in that game.
No, it didn't. But this was easy for me.
Well, here's the crazy thing.
One was.
His best year. Kevin, I mean, we agree. And by the way, that receiver core for Vince was not great, right?
Not as great as we thought they were going to be because there was a lot of love with Limus.
Yeah.
And Limus got better that year. Oh, I mean, think about the Ohio State catch. He got better. But I think a lot of people thought this guy was going to be really big time. You had Nate Jones, Billy Pittman.
Brian Carter.
Ramonts.
Yep. Yeah, when they split out Ramonts, he'd go next level, right? But David was clearly the best pass-catching weapon. He only caught 50 balls that year.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you go through all this.
It's so frustrating.
And none of the numbers are where you want them, or probably where they should have been.
Yeah. Well, and what the crazy thing, too, is some of the big physical marvels, like Jermichael Finley or Lawrence Sampleton, they showed what they were capable of early when they got with the focus of a passing game plan.
Yeah.
So Lawrence Sampleton, just to go back slightly, his big debut was as a freshman against No. 3 Arkansas. He catches 4 balls for 108 yards, dominates the Razorbacks, powers Texas to the win. He's a freshman, right? And that's the highlight of his career in a single game in terms of utilization.
Which is why, I mean, so we kind of changed our metrics a little bit, but if you're going just straight winning at Texas and what they did at Texas with numbers to go with that, so stats, Thomas is 1, Fitzgerald 2. Lamons 3.
Sampleton. Those were good Texas teams.
Sampleton.
Yeah.
But those would be, like, those 4 guys would be your guys.
Well, and Peschel, if you're giving them
Peschel, too. So, yeah. So that would be your top 5 if we're just sticking with that, right?
Yeah. But I think you got to have a more holistic
No,
view.
You do, which is
Some guys are trapped in an era that
Which is why
help.
There's 2 guys I have on that list, and that's exactly who they are. And
yep.
And then let me flip that. Scaife and Finley, 4 or 5.
Yep.
Put Scaife at 5. Obviously, if you're going straight off numbers, those guys aren't going to be on this list.
Yep.
But I also think, can you imagine what they would have done in some of the other systems?
Unbelievable. Yeah. So who are some of your honorable mentions? We mentioned some of them.
Mentioned Cash.
Kerry Cash.
And that was more of just kind of being a freak.
Yep.
Who else?
Peschel.
Peschel. Randy Peschel's got to be on there.
One thing to remember.
Austin kid, too.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
One thing to remember about Randy Peschel. Obviously, a valuable and beloved member of that national championship team made the incredible catch against Arkansas. He had 1 touchdown catch in his entire career.
Yes.
So people, there's a little Derek Lewis role left with him.
Yeah.
Where he had an iconic, important catch, and he came up big in a couple of other games, but he was not a game in and game out sort of dominant or even featured player in that offense. And that's the nature of the wishbone.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? He was an undersized tight end playing in the wishbone.
Who was the Oklahoma tight end you mentioned earlier off the air? Steven
Alexander.
Right. I think the Steven you're thinking of was Steven Clark.
Steven Clark.
Number 82.
That's exactly right.
Who's a big guy.
Ended up getting drafted.
Because
saw potential.
He looked the part.
Yeah.
All right. Who else are we missing here?
Jeff Swaim.
Yeah, as a blocker. Hell yeah. And he'd be the one.
Best blocking tight end I've ever seen at Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, truly.
I thought you were going to put Andrew Beck on there.
Ah, of course. Who else is on my... Oh, I've got a guy who became a very good tight end in the NFL, but he was a running back at Texas. Do you know who it was?
A running back at Texas.
Before our time. But
who?
Terry Orr.
Oh, Terry Orr. Yes, absolutely. Good
10-year
call there.
NFL career, yeah, for the Redskins playing H-back.
My dad would tell me about Terry Orr all the time.
Terry Orr rushed for 1,000 yards.
Right, and I think that was it. The fact that he was able to make that change.
Yeah.
But you can't put him on this.
Yeah, nope, you can't. He played in the NFL. So a very valuable member of that Hogs running game, John Riggins, all that,
yeah,
for the Redskins. Played 10 years for Joe Gibbs, one of his favorite players.
Wow.
But at Texas, he was a running back. They converted him to tight end. So we're hopefully going to change that history of Texas tight ends. There's a few guys you can aspire to, but the hope is that Tom Herman gets the recruiting going. They get the development going, more importantly, and they can start getting some tight ends with the Miamis and the Stanfords and the Notre Dames.
Yeah, the question is, will they utilize them this year as much? And that's where your search will come in. And I don't want to try and force it.
No.
I don't want to force anything if it's not there. But we've gotten some, we'll figure out. We'll figure it out when we get there.
Increasingly there's these body types. You just see them over and over. 6'5", 6'6", guys, 6'6", guys with great hands who can run. And in the college spread offense, they're just mismatches. Mark Andrews was a 1,000-yard receiver at OU before he went to the Ravens. And you know what? He's still a mismatch in the NFL.
Yeah, and just like in the NFL, Lincoln Riley would split him out a lot.
Exactly.
And you get those mismatches, and he's running a 9 route, and you just throw it up to his hands.
Yeah, you got to wonder what old Jermichael and Lawrence Sampleton could have done with the right tutelage. Ooh.
Yeah, Jermichael. So we've kind of given different lists here. So if you're just going best guy at Texas, winner, and stats, which is totally fair, then
DT,
you still won. Fitzgerald is right up there. Lammons is right up there.
Yep. And Sampleton played on good teams.
Sampleton played on good teams and still had enough numbers. That's probably your top four. If we're just going talent,
yeah,
Jermichael Finley's one for me.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
If we're just going talent. Now, even with him being a glorified receiver, because I would use him as that.
Yeah. Well, we don't want NFL careers to determine this because this is about college.
Right.
But to give you an idea of how the NFL viewed Lawrence Sampleton, he was underutilized at Texas, second-round draft pick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how crazy talented that guy was.
They knew.
Yeah, they knew. It was like Keith Jackson at OU, but actually Keith Jackson got used.
He did, but even then, I never felt like used enough.
Well,
Holloway would run a couple play actions, yep, where Holloway all of a sudden, what I love that on the triple option, would pop back out and get into the pocket,
yeah,
and you had Keith Jackson running a seamer,
260-pound guy running a seamer,
some white linebacker back in the 80s.
Yeah,
he's trying to carry the seam and not doing it very well.
Not gonna happen.
All right, anything else on tight ends here?
I got nothing else. I think we covered it. How long was this?
We're at 28 minutes.
Wow.
I know.
I didn't know we had 28 minutes of tight end in us.
I didn't either. Yeah, I was a little worried going through this list and thought, uh-oh.
All right. Well, I can tell you the position, a friend of the podcast that we have utilized effectively at Texas, and that's Gabe Winslow at Mortgage Solutions. The Gabe Winslow team, you can reach him at 832-557-1095. You mentioned this podcast. He's going to give $500 on closing. He's also going to beat your best competitive bid. Just go do it. I'm not going to even give you the hard sell. He's a good dude. All the people that have done business with him from our podcast have raved about him. We're really happy with the partnership. And that's all I got.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We will we'll talk to you when we talk to you. Hopefully the tight ends will get a little bit better. Say bye, Paul.
Adios.
The Everyone Gets a Trophy podcast is brought to you in part by David McClellan at Form Financial. David is a financial expert who it is worth your time to give a call for a free consultation. His phone number is 312-933-8823. David is located in Austin, Texas, but he has a national clientele wherever you are. And if you are a small business owner, a business owner, or a high net worth individual, it is time to level up your financial life. The way you can do that is give David a call, take advantage of the free consultation, and find out what his level of expertise can do for you. Once again, that's David McClellan at 312-933-8823. Let him know we sent you. Thanks.